Joining us now from The Athletic, he is Jonathan Willis, friend of the show. Thanks for doing this, Jonathan. A gift from the heavens here in the middle of summer. A nice little trade for us to discuss and to break down. What's your first reaction to hearing Milan Lucic for James Neal?
Well, we're still waiting on the details, but the initial reaction on my end is that the Oilers would have to be retaining a bunch of money and including a significant sweetener to turn this into anything other than a clear win for Ken Holland. Milan Lucic has been a non-scorer at 5-on-5 for three seasons now. He has four to go on a contract that cannot be bought out. The situation in Edmonton had turned toxic on a lot of different levels, and there seemed no clear path out of it. So in doing this, they bring in James Neal, a guy who has a chance to potentially rebound after a bad season, and if not, a guy who's paid 100% in base salary rather than signing bonuses, meaning they can buy him out a year from now if the need arises.
Well, looking at the Edmonton side of things, James Neal heading there, what kind of fit does he have in that roster in a top six role? And who do you think he maybe would gel with perfectly, potentially?
He'll start in the top six without question. The decision that the Oilers have to make is whether to play McDavid and Draisaitl together. It sounds like from David Tippett's comments when he took the job as coach that they're leaning towards it, in which case I'd expect Neal to slot in next to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the second line. It's also possible that they run Nugent-Hopkins with McDavid, which they've done in the past, and play Draisaitl with Neal. But no matter how they do it, he's looking at a top six role and potentially with a very good center.
You know, I just the first takeaway is for me and trying to think about James Neal and the Edmonton Oilers, like, I mean, if Connor McDavid can turn Alex Chiasson into a 20-plus scorer, then what can he, you know, at least James Neal, we've seen him do it quite a bit. That's got to be the thought process here for Ken Holland and the Edmonton Oilers.
Some of it, I think, but... Well, it's a little bit problematic just because Connor McDavid couldn't turn Milan Lucic into it.
Fair enough.
But you know, Neal's only had the one bad year. The other thing working against Neal is, like, a guy like Chiasson, where he really thrived last year was as a net front guy on that power play, particularly because he was the only right shot on their top power play unit. Neal shoots left, and I wonder, like, he obviously has a history as a trigger man, which maybe gets him onto that first power play unit. There was a year a while back now where he led the league in power play goals, but because he's a left shot, it's not automatic to me that he ends up on that first power play unit where they have Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, and McDavid as three left shot forwards already.
Jonathan, looking at what Ken Holland's been able to do in the last couple of months here, what's your assessment of the way that he's kind of remade the roster to a certain extent and the moves that he's made thus far?
Well, I have to bite back some of my earlier summer assessment to a degree. So the book on Ken Holland is that he's sort of an arch conservative among NHL GMs, and he rarely makes player-for-player trades. And it looked like that was going to be the case here in Edmonton. You know, he's going to tinker around the edges. He's going to take a slow and steady approach, and that's going to be the way things go. This is by far the most significant move he's made. As I said, we're still waiting on the specifics of the deal, but it dwarfs anything else he's done this summer in terms of impact, and most of that impact being positive, I think.
Jonathan Willis of The Athletic, our guest. So what do you think Calgary's thinking in all this?
Well, I've talked to people in Calgary before because this has been rumored for a while now. And my question is always the same. Why would Calgary do this? Because of the way Lucic's contract is structured, there's no way out, and he's been a non-scorer for long enough that you can't realistically expect him to contribute offensively, although, you know, he's still a reasonably good defensive player and of course, a very physical player. And what I was told when I raised the question was that I didn't appreciate how much Calgary disliked what James Neal brought to their team on a bunch of different levels, a lot of it being production, some of it being off the ice, where he's a guy who, you know, has had rumors that he's not necessarily the greatest person to have in the locker room. I mean, who knows how much merit there is in that? A guy lands in a city, 1 year is bad. These things happen. I think Calgary just wanted to flush him, and Calgary wanted to get tougher. And Calgary also, as you guys were pointing out when I came on, needs to save a little bit of money. So if the Oilers are retaining, say, a third of Lucic's contract, maybe it's not that much, maybe it's less, but it's potential. There's a potential that they saved $1 million here and got a player for their bottom six who will be more effective in that role than a guy like James Neal, who they were planning to play in the bottom six anyway, probably.
Well, you did mention that the Flames wanted to get tougher. They saw that as a problem area, especially in that playoff series last year. This is a potentially a pretty significant price to pay. Is Milan Lucic the right player for that role at this point in his career? And do we overvalue that role in hockey to begin with?
Well, I don't think there's any question that that role has been overvalued historically. I mean, jump back 10 years ago and look at how many enforcers are in the league. Jump back 20 years ago and look at how many enforcers are in the league. And teams have been able to get rid of them and improve their on-ice product at basically no loss. So it is overvalued. I still think there's, you know, it's an itch that managers want to scratch, and Calgary just scratched it at no real asset cost, in that Neal was a negative asset. In a third, fourth line role in Calgary, I think Lucic stands a better chance of being successful than he did in Edmonton because of the way he entered the team. When he came to Edmonton, it was as a top six winger, as McDavid's policeman on his left wing, and he was getting a massive contract. Coming to Calgary, he's a toxic asset that was traded for another toxic asset. The expectations are much lower. You know, he can step into that a third or fourth line role right away, and nobody expects him to be anything other than a third or fourth line player.
The other thing that's kind of sticking out for me for Edmonton in this conversation, Jonathan, is they're, depending on how much they withhold here and retain on Lucic's salary, they could have up to $5 million in dead money against their cap, and some of that's been done here by Ken Holland. What do you make of him being willing to get rid of that, even at a cap cost, to a team that's already right up against it and has had a lot of depth issues?
Yeah, so a lot of those problems are inherited. I'm not looking at the cap thing right now. I'm just trying to run the math in my head. It may be more than $5 million, because right. I think there's a good chance. I think Brandon Manning will be buried in the minors. Potentially Kyle Brodziak will be as well, and both of those guys would leave a residual cap hit, a small one in Brodziak's case. But I mean, what do you do? Like, so much of that dead cap space is inherited. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the Andre Sekera buyout was a wise decision for the Oilers, because I really liked the player, and I thought he showed last year that he still had some game left when he came back from injury. But when I look at it from Holland's perspective, his hands were tied in a lot of ways. And when he looked at ways to open up some room to have some summer activity, the Sekera buyout was a way to do that. You know, if that didn't happen, maybe the Lucic trade doesn't happen. And that in itself probably makes it worthwhile. There's always going to be trade-offs. Nobody likes having that much dead money, but realistically the situation was so bad coming in that there was always going to be some there. And, you know, if that was the cost to get this done, I think most people watching the Oilers would take it.
I will tell you, here in Vancouver, both Randeep and I are very happy that we will stop hearing the Louis for Lucic rumors and takes from many
listeners.
Maybe
it's a three-way deal. Maybe it's a three-way deal.
Wait for the details, right? Yeah, you never know.
We're still waiting on those final details. You never know. Thanks for this, Jonathan, as always.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Sportsnet 650.